Well, let's all open our Bibles again to Malachi chapter 1. This is the time of the year when students finish their year, whether it's homeschool, private school, public school, or even computer schools. And as we have heard, one of our students is graduating. And sometimes students graduate with honors, and they call them an honor student. And you've seen bumper stickers, you know, my son is an honor student at such and such a school. Honor. Soldiers sometimes win honors of distinction, such as the Congressional Medal of Honor. On the other hand, the idea of honor is very rare in America. Some people even laugh at the idea of showing honor to somebody, or to say such and such is an honorable person. That might elicit laughs from some people. Honor? What's that? If you watch television or follow entertainment in any media, you find that it's very popular to make fun of people. Satires, comedies, jokes. And often they will ridicule someone that they should be honoring. You find this in the breakdown of families, where when was the last time you saw a television show that actually portrayed the father and the mother as an honorable person and the children honoring him? Pretty rare. We find this also in the breakdown of protocol and manners. People want to be cool and show bad manners. You remember that case a couple years ago where, I forgot what it was, a volleyball team or a soccer team of girls was invited to the White House and met our president. And one of those teenage girls showed up wearing flip-flops. And various commentators were saying, didn't anybody teach her good manners? Probably not. On the other hand, if you go to certain parts of the world, good manners and honor is very much part of their society. Go to Japan. There's a various protocol there about bowing to someone. Who bows first? Who bows lowest? How long do you stay there? And you would never dishonor certain people. It's like that in the Middle East too, amongst Jews and Muslims. Perhaps because those cultures have been influenced by the Bible. Brethren, we need to rediscover the great biblical concept of honor, and most of all, with respect to the honor of God, the subject for this morning's message. And the summary is one very short sentence. God is supremely honorable. What does the word honor mean? Well, it means respect. So when we use that word today, just think respect, reverence, distinction, esteem, high reputation, eminence, prestige, worthy of admiration. Now, occasionally it's still fitting to use this word. If you go to a court of law, it is expected that you refer to the judge as Your Honor. Or if you write a letter to a congressman, it's to be addressed the honorable such and such. And in the Bible, there are words that bring this out. There's certain Hebrew words for honor that mean respect or reverence. And in Greek, it's the same thing. But one of the Greek words has a certain nuance, a certain flavor to it that means to show value to someone, that somebody or something is valuable. We'll get back to that later. Now, if some people are honorable, God is the most honorable of all. At college graduation, sometimes honor students are graduated, puts it on their diploma that they graduate cum laude, which means with honors, or magna cum laude. That means that they had a grade point average, very high, like 3.9. Or if they're 3.95, it would be summa cum laude, the highest of all honors. So if we honor some human beings like this, how much more ought we to honor God, to whom ultimate honor belongs? You could say he has ultima cum laude. He is honorable. He deserves honor. He has honor in himself, and he deserves and demands it from us. Let me just read you a selection of Bible verses on this before we look at the one in Malachi 1. 1 Chronicles 16:27. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Psalm 96:6. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Psalm 104:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Psalm 111:3. His work is honorable and glorious. And then two verses in 1 Timothy 1:17. Notice that all of these are in the context of worship. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And then later in 6:16, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So those are just a few of the verses that tell us God has glory, and that when we worship him, we should give him the honor and the glory that's due to him. Another word that could be used as a synonym for God's honor is his dignity. Now, again, that's not a word you hear very much, but if you look at old television shows, movies, or read old novels, you'll hear about someone that is a dignified person. Unfortunately, that sometimes means he's very proud, but with other people, they carry themselves with an air of dignity and respect. And when you meet him, you feel like kind of nodding your head to him. I was at a Presbyterian General Assembly some years ago in Dallas, and there's about 2,000 Presbyterian pastors and elders there. And one man came walking through the crowd, and it was kind of like Moses parting the Red Sea. Everybody kind of stood back, and he walked in a very stately manner. And I nudged a preacher friend of mine, and I said, "Who was that?" And he says, "You have just seen His Eminence, the Reverend D. James Kennedy." James Kennedy had a certain way of walking, very dignified because he had a back ailment. But he walked very stately and dignified. And if you remember his preaching, he had a certain dignity about him. So some people still have the idea of dignity. Brethren, God has ultimate dignity. That's part of his honor. God has this honor, and he shows it in a very dignified way. Now, we should honor God. Unfortunately, we fail to honor God, and that sin, we dishonor God when we don't give him the honor that is his due. To dishonor means to insult someone or to simply treat them as nothing. And that's what, unfortunately, comedians like to do. For them, nothing is sacred. They make fun of God. They make fun of the president. They make fun of parents, school teachers, anybody. They dishonor them. But brethren, we should never dishonor God. He is worthy of our honor. Now, all that is by way of introduction. With your Bibles open before you, turn with me to Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father. You could say a son should honor his father. And a servant his master. Or an employee, his employer. If I then am the father, where is my honor? This is God speaking. And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise or dishonor my name. And yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? God, who is speaking through his prophet, says, even in Israel, in that part of the world at that time, it was expected that sons would respect and honor their father, and a farmhand would respect the owner of the farm. And God says, well, if this is the case in the families and in the workplace, What about me? God says, where's my honor? I am not just your father, I am your God. And if I am a master, where's my reverence? Notice the words honor and reverence are parallel. And then it's very embarrassing. The last part of this verse says, this is God speaking to the priests. Those holy priests, their job was to offer sacrifices and to read the word of God. They were the ones that should show the honor to God the most. And yet they despised God. And they didn't even know it. So they say, in what way have we despised you and failed to give you honor? And then God gives them a catalog of illustrations. So we dishonor God, brethren, today. Even though we may not be a preacher, we need to honor God because God has called upon us to do that. So this applies to us today. God says, you don't honor me. And we might say like these priests, what do you mean I don't honor you? In what way have we dishonored your name? Well, let me mention a few from the Bible in which sinful human beings dishonor God. You see, there's no in between. God says to honor him. And if we don't, we dishonor him, even if we simply ignore him. Ignoring the God of honor is to dishonor him. Now, the most obvious way is when some people curse God and they give outright blasphemy. Unfortunately, this has become cool on the internet. And I hope nobody here ever looks at those websites. And people will do this with their various Twitters and their Facebook and stuff like that. Has it come to that in our country where there is outright blasphemy? I may not agree with the Muslims much in their religion, but they don't put up with outright blasphemy of their false God. How much more should our nation not put up with outright blasphemy of the one true God, cursing God? And then there's sacrilege. Some of you are probably saying, what in the world is sacrilege? The very fact that we don't know what that means is a dishonor upon our country. The word sacrilege is pretty rare. Rarely mentioned today, except perhaps if you come from a Catholic background. You know that I disagree with the Catholic Church on a whole lot of things, but at least they teach their children don't commit sacrilege. What is sacrilege? It's found once in the Bible in Romans 2:22, at least in the King James Version, that says, thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? The word there literally means something like desecration of a temple. What is sacrilege? Sacrilege is when someone misuses or degrades something tangible that is dedicated to God, such as when you desecrate a temple. Well, when someone today would vandalize a church building, and people have done that. Gary, you remember a few years ago, someone tampered with the lettering on our sign out front, and they took the letters and they jumbled it all up and said something nonsensical. They were committing sacrilege because that was actually quoting the word of God there. They were tampering not only with a building and a sign that's dedicated to God, they were tampering with the word of God because it was spelling out a verse from the Bible. And all that was their way of saying, who cares about God? When someone misuses something that's dedicated to God, he's committing sacrilege. Or, for example, when we mistreat the word of God. Now, we're not superstitious. We don't bow down and worship the physical Bible. We don't burn little candles before it. But, brethren, this is the word of God. And we should treat the physical word of God with a certain honor. Don't use it to put on the floor and prop up the table because it's loose or something like that. You treat your Bible with respect because it's the word of God. And there are various other ways we commit sacrilege. If you misuse the ordinances, for example, at the conclusion of the service, we have a holy ordinance laid out. And you might say, what's the big deal? It's just a few crackers and some juice. But this is dedicated to the use and worship of God. Therefore, we commit sacrilege if we don't use this in the proper spirit of giving God honor. And there are various other ways sacrilege is committed. So search your memory banks, dear brethren, and examine your conscience. Are you guilty of sacrilege? Then there's the misuse of God's name. People misuse it and they they say, well, I didn't mean anything by it. They're dishonoring God. They're despising God when they take God's name in vain. One of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, these are just various ways in which people dishonor God. What's God's reaction to this? Well, to dishonor someone is to insult him. Nobody likes to be insulted. You don't like it when someone makes fun of you or insults you, do you? When someone dishonors you, don't you have a certain emotional reaction against that? You get angry? Yes. Usually out of hurt pride. But that tells us that if we are offended and have an emotional reaction when we are dishonored, how much more is God angry when he is offended? Now, this happens in even modern day America where there's not much sense of honor, but, you know, sometimes two men will start fighting when one of them insults the other person. He pulls his jacket off, and before you know it, they're rolling around the ground punching and wrestling like that. In the old days, a person that was dishonored would challenge the other person to a duel. Why? Because they said, you've insulted me, you've dishonored me, and now they're angry about it. How much more is God angry when we offend him and when we dishonor him? He is angry. Now, in the old days, when someone would challenge someone to a duel and slap them in the face or something, they say, I demand satisfaction. Now, often it was done illegally with swords or with pistols. But they had at least one truth in that. Someone was dishonored. He says, you've dishonored me. I demand satisfaction. You see where I'm going with this? We have dishonored God, and he is angry, and he says, I demand satisfaction because you've dishonored me. Now, in the old days, you dishonored someone, you couldn't say, well, ain't no big deal, buddy. Hey, chill, cool off. He says, you've dishonored me. I demand things put right. And in those days, an apology wouldn't be enough. In the same way, brethren, we've dishonored God, and we can't just simply say, I'm sorry. Now, you know how sometimes people are, and they say, okay, I'm sorry. That's not good enough in human relationships. It's certainly not good enough with God. What am I getting at? Brethren, God just doesn't want us to apologize. Even repentance isn't enough to satisfy God's honor. When we've dishonored God, we can bring ourselves down and we can repent with tears, or as the Bible says, with sackcloth and ashes. That's not going to satisfy God, even though we should repent. God says, I demand satisfaction. And repentance doesn't satisfy God. You say, how angry is God? God is far more angry in his dishonored state than we imagine. So he says, I demand satisfaction, and you are not able to give that satisfaction. Now, this is the state of the problem. We see it in the Bible. Unfortunately, many people don't see it. About 1,000 years ago, a great theologian named Anselm, he happened to be the Archbishop of Canterbury in England at the time, he saw this. And he saw the answer from the Bible. He said, sin is not only a debt that we owe to God, sin is an attack on the very honor of God. And he says, God demands satisfaction. And then he elaborated on this in his book, and he said, we have offended God's honor. Satisfaction must be made, but we are unable to satisfy God's honor. God is able to satisfy his own honor, but he demands that we satisfy it. So he says, there's the state of the problem. And he says, this is why God became a man, to satisfy the dishonored honor of God. And he says, that's where Jesus Christ came in. He is God who is honorable. He came to earth and was dishonored by man. He died a dishonorable, disgraceful death. But in doing this, he satisfied the honor of God as no other person could. Now you see the beauty of the gospel with relationship to the honor of God. So now let's look at how this relates to Jesus Christ and the honor of God. As we've said week by week in these messages, Jesus is God become a man. He is the conduit, as it were, of everything in God coming to man and everything from man going back to God. What does that mean? Jesus is God. He shows us the honor of God. He received honor from the Father and he passes it on to us. He shows us the honor of God. And then on the other hand, when we give honor to Jesus, we are giving honor to God. That's why I say he's the conduit from God and back to God. Let's look at this for a few moments. Jesus Christ always honored God the Father because he was a man. John 8:49, Jesus said, I honor my Father and you dishonor me. John 5:41-41, Jesus said he was not honored by sinners because they sought to honor for themselves. They were greedy with honor that should belong to God because of their pride. And therefore they did not seek for the true honor that comes only from God. Let me show you something else Jesus said. So turn now to the Gospel of John chapter 8. Subject of honor crops up several times in the Gospel of John. I've already alluded to two of them, but look now in John chapter 8. Toward the end of the chapter, verse 54. Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Now, he was speaking about his humanity. He's saying honor must come from somewhere else. He says, it is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Christ humbled himself. He didn't walk around with pride, and yet he was honored by the Father. Now, let's look at that. Jesus Christ was given honor from the Father. Now, we are to give honor to the Father, but in this case, the Father, God, gives honor to his Son. 2 Peter 1:17 says, he received from God the Father honor and glory. Now, if you look that up, you find out what Peter's talking about. There was that incident where Jesus went up on a certain little mountain outside of Jerusalem, and he took three of the apostles, Peter, James, and John, and they went up there. Now, for the previous 2 years, Peter, James, and John had still kind of wondered, who was Jesus? He's doing these miracles. Is he a prophet? Is he the Messiah? Who or what is Jesus? And when he's up there on the mountain, the three apostles are just kind of sitting around listening, and then it says that a cloud came down from heaven, and the glory of God shone from within Jesus, and a voice spoke from heaven that said, this is my Son, with whom I am well pleased, listen to him. That's what Peter is referring to in 2 Peter 1:17. He received from God the Father honor and glory. The Father said, this is my Son. It's like the Father saying, I am proud of my Son. I am honoring him. I am giving him ultimate honors. And of course, if the Father gives him that honor, so should we. Hebrews 2:7-9 says, you have crowned him with glory and honor. We see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. So the point here is that God honored Jesus Christ and he calls upon us to honor him as well. Now turn back a few chapters in John to John chapter 5. We've seen how the Father honored the Son, and now we see how we too should honor the Son. Look at John chapter 5, verses 22-23. For the Father judges no one, for he has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. The Bible says that God is the judge. We'll appear at the judgment day. But this verse tells us something interesting. It won't be God the Father sitting on the throne of judgment. It'll be God the Son. Specifically, God the Son, who is the Messiah, the God-man. And Jesus takes his place, his rightful place, on the throne of judgment. And it says everybody will honor the Son as they honor the Father. And just as when we appear in a human court of law, we should call the judge your honor. We should refer to the Lord Jesus Christ as the honorable Son of the Father. They should all honor the Son as they honor the Father. We honor the Father by honoring the Son because both of them are God. Now, the conclusion of that point is this. Those that do not honor Jesus as God do not honor the Father. Look exactly what Jesus himself said. He that does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. There are those that go around saying, oh, they honor the Father. They say God is the Father, deserves ultimate honor, but not Jesus. Oh, we honor him as a good person. No. If they don't honor Jesus as God, God sees right through it and says, you don't honor me as God either. So those such as the Jehovah's Witnesses that say Jesus is just a man, and they respect him but they don't worship him, they show that in their hearts they are not truly honoring God the Father either. And by not honoring Jesus, we show that we dishonor him. There's no in between. You either honor Jesus as ultimate God or you dishonor him. There are those that say, well, we honor the memory of Jesus. We respect him. They say if we had a catalog or a parade of all the great men and women of history, Jesus would be number one. Above Winston Churchill or Albert Einstein or Abraham Lincoln or all the great people. Florence Nightingale, they say Jesus is greater than them all. We honor him. But if they don't honor him as God, they actually dishonor him by bringing him down to only the level of another man. They may think they're honoring him, but they're dishonoring him. God shows his honor in several ways. I said through the Lord Jesus Christ, he shows it and receives it. But the Bible gives us two other ways. Turn with me next back to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. It's one of the longer prophets. That's why it's scholars call it one of the major prophets, not major in importance, but major in size. Jeremiah 33, interesting verse. And this shows us one of the two ways in which God shows his honor to us. Jeremiah 33:9. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I provide for them. What's this got to do with God's honor? God is promising in the previous verse, I'm going to cleanse them of all their iniquity. I will pardon all their sins, all their transgressions. The point is this. God is honored when he forgives lost sinners. God receives glory and praise, of course, but God as it were shows his honor. The angels see this and they honor God. We too should honor God when we see God saves a sinner and forgives him all of his sins. And that, of course, is an incentive to us to give him honor and glory. He says, it'll be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth. Ah, but this has a flip side to this coin. Turn with me back to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Second book of the Bible, and you know the context. The Jews are in Egypt, and God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no, I want to keep them here. And look what God says here in Exodus 14. And he repeats this three times, starting in verse 4, 18, 4, 14, and 18. God says in verse 4, then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. What's he saying? Saying to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And when I finally send all these judgments, he's eventually going to say, let them go. And then he's going to come after them. And God says, and I will be waiting for them at the Red Sea. And that I will, as I save my people through the parting of the Red Sea, I will get honor out of Pharaoh by punishing him, all of his armies, and even drowning the horses in the Red Sea. But the point is, he says, I will do this and I will gain honor over them. It's kind of like at the end of a boxing match where the referee holds up the hand and says, ladies and gentlemen, the winner. And of course, the man will strut around with his hands in the air like that. You see it all on TV. God gets honor over Pharaoh and over all his army and over all of his enemies when he defeats them. Just as God gets honor from lost sinners when he saves them, God gets honor over his enemies when he judges them. Notice again that verse that we quoted several times in a previous message. Then they will know that I am the Lord God. God vents the wrath of his offended honor against unrepentant sinners. And in this sense, he shows his honor. God deserves honor. And he will receive it one way or the other. He will receive it in our salvation or in our damnation. Now that's a summary of what the Bible says about the honor of God. Let's get some practical lessons and show how we can display the honor of God. Number one, brethren, we should honor God above everything and everyone else. Now, remember earlier I said that one aspect of the word honor in the New Testament is to value something. You say it's very valuable. It's not a piece of junk. It's not just something you can throw away. So sometimes you have some heirloom or maybe some special gift somebody gave you. Maybe someone made it with his own hands. You put it in a place of honor, or they give you something and you wear it to show, yes, this is valuable to me. You are showing that it's valuable. Now, we're to honor God by showing that he is most valuable in our life. We're to give him the place of honor. And our life, our thoughts, our deeds, our words, we must value God more than anything else. Now, that's part of worship. Worship is actually attributing worth to God. Worship. We are saying, you are the worthy one. In the same way, we show honor to God by saying, he is the most valuable thing of all. If I were to ask you, what's the most valuable thing that you own? Let's say some tangible thing. One way to find out is, if your house was on fire, what would you carry out of there first? And you hear about refugees that have to leave some land, such as in a time of persecution or disaster, and they can only bring a few things in a little satchel. And those are usually the things most valuable and irreplaceable. You know what they usually are, by the way? Usually some irreplaceable thing that doesn't mean much to anybody else. Something that their father gave them. Or some picture of their late mother. And they say, that's the only one I have of her. I wouldn't take $10 million for this. In a time of extreme disaster, we go for the things that are most valuable to us. But brethren, the most valuable thing to us should be not something tangible. It's God. He is the most valuable, the most worthy, the most honorable. So, brethren, we need to honor God above everything and everyone else. We should respect God and reverence God, such as showing respect for his name. Now, earlier I gave you a short list of some of the ways people dishonor God. You can turn those around. We should honor things that are dedicated to God, such as the Bible, church buildings, the ordinances. And we should honor God's name instead of dishonoring it. Let me show you another one. Turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. This is another way in which we may show honor to God. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. What's he saying here? One of the ways that we show honor to God is by honoring his day, the Lord's day. And if we do what he forbids on the Lord's day, we're not only dishonoring his day, we're dishonoring God. So, brethren, let us honor God by honoring his day, and on that day do God-honoring things. Psalm 66:2 tells us another way in which we can honor God. It says, sing out the honor of his name. That means sing out godly music that is God-honoring. And not all Christian music is God-honoring. Some Christian music does not honor God, but it honors the musicians. Here's another one. Proverbs 14:31 shows us another way in which we may honor God. You see, we don't honor God just by worshiping and singing directly to God, but all of life is to be God-honoring. And here's another interesting one. Proverbs 14:31. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. It's also in Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your possessions. What's this saying? When we give to the truly needy, when we support missions that help people that are very poor, that's a way of honoring God. And it says here in Proverbs 3:9, we are to honor the Lord with our possessions, our tithes, our offerings, supporting missionaries and others. When we support the Lord's people, we are supporting honor to God. Here's another one. Matthew 15, Jesus said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Brethren, when we give honor to God, it should be more than just simply what we say or what we sing or even what we do. It all starts in the heart. True honor must arise within our heart when we see God deserves the honor and we want to give it to him in an honorable way. One more interesting verse, again from Isaiah 43:20, God says, the beast of the field will honor me. That's interesting. God says, all the animals out there give an honor to God. Now, they don't do it consciously or verbally, unless you somehow think that birds, when they chirp and sing, are somehow honoring God. Maybe they are in their own way. But what God is saying is like what he sang back in Malachi. He says, a son honors his father, an employee honors his employer, and God says, the beasts of the field honor me, why don't you honor me? And if we don't honor God, we have disgraced ourselves lower than the animals. Animals honor God. And brethren, God didn't create us lower than the animals, but higher than the animals. Therefore, we should honor God as well. God is also honored by sacrifice. Isaiah 43:23, God says, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. Now, in those days, that's what the animal sacrifices in the temple were for, to honor God. We don't have animal sacrifices anymore, but the principle is that we are to honor God not just with our money or with our words or with our lives. The idea of sacrifice is that you're giving up something that is valuable to you. Search your memory. What have you actually given up to God that is valuable to you? Now, we're not talking about sinful things. Sinful things should be given up, period. But the Bible talked about certain sacrifices where you say, Lord, I am so grateful and I want to go the extra mile by honoring you with a special sacrifice. What have you honored God with? It's a special sacrifice. The thing that God wants us to give to him the most, that is most valuable to us, is ourselves. To say, Lord, you are so valuable, I want to honor you by giving you myself. And God is pleased with that. Second one. Honor God by honoring those persons God puts in places of authority. Remember, we talked about authority last week. Romans 13:7 says, honor to whom honor is due. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor the king. We are to honor civil authorities. In a court of law, say, yes, your honor. You say that if you meet a congressman, the honorable Mr. such and such. And Peter said, honor the king. We are to honor our president. Whether you voted for him or not, he is still your president. And if you ever have the opportunity to meet a president of the United States, whether you voted for him or not, you should stand at attention and say, yes, sir, Mr. President. And you should show him the honor and the deference that is his due. The Bible says that. There's another one. God has put parents over us. One of the Ten Commandments says, honor your father and your mother. By the way, I checked that out. Did you know that that commandment is repeated 6 times in the New Testament? We honor God by honoring our parents. Parents are put in the place of God. God says, you honor your parents, even if they're not perfect. No parent is perfect. You honor them. Now, I'm still old-fashioned enough and Bible-believing enough to believe we should show it in various ways. I was taught to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am to my mother and father as a way of expressing honor to them. And not just use their first name or to say the old man in the back room. You show honor to your parents. Remember, children, God is listening. Then there are others we are to show honor to. 1 Timothy 5:3 says to show honor to widows. And brethren, we have the honor to show honor to certain widows in our church. We honor the widows and widowers in our church. It doesn't end there. 1 Peter 3:7 says to husbands, you show honor to your wives. Look that up, and not just on Mother's Day. Honor your wives. Treat them as valuable in your presence. 1 Timothy 5:7 says also to show honor to pastors and church elders. 1 Timothy 6:1 says to honor your employers. Back then, those would be slave masters. These are in the place of God. Therefore, we show honor to God by honoring those that God has put over us. Now, there's one more here, and I want to underscore this. You've probably never heard this verse preached on. Leviticus 19:32. God says, you shall rise before the gray-headed person and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I don't think there's a single person on television that does that. But every Christian should. Brethren, we should honor older people. It says it's an honor here, the person that's gray-headed. Honor the presence of an old man or an old woman. As your pastor, I want to say something to you very seriously here. We are honored to have several elderly people in our church. May it never be that anybody here ever shows them dishonor. If I ever hear any of you children or any of you adults say something dishonorable to the elderly in this church, you're going to see an angry pastor. Don't you dare say something snide or dishonorable about any of the elderly people here. It is an honor to you to show them honor, to stand up and show them respect. Remember, God is listening. And when you show honor to those that are elderly, you are showing honor to God. Lesson number 3. We are told to seek true honor that comes only from God. Now, we're not talking about pride. That is a sinful form of dishonor. That's sin. Sin is a disgrace to a person. The Bible says sin is a disgrace to a people. It degrades us. So what do we mean, seek true honor that comes only from God? That means that we get right with God through Jesus Christ. And when we honor Jesus by believing in him, we actually receive a blessing of honor from God. Listen to what Jesus said, John 12:26. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. What an honor. You know, in the Boy Scouts, when I was a Boy Scout, I used to like to earn merit badges, first class, star. I even became an Eagle Scout. That and 25 cents will get me a cup of coffee these days. It doesn't seem to mean much anymore. But I'd go to the court of honor and, oh, I want to be honored by them giving these badges and medals of distinction. Brethren, we should strive in our lives for those rewards God promises to give to Christians that serve him. God honors them. Jesus said, if anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. You say, how does that work? When we obey him, when we serve him with the right motives. Remember I mentioned earlier? When it costs us something, when we sacrifice, when we're willing to give up things, not just sinful things, but even good things, to say, I'm going to give this up as an honor to God. Let me give you an example. It's from one of my favorite old movies. Anybody here ever seen chariots of fire. True story. Great story. Eric Little of Scotland honored God and honored God's day, the Sabbath. And he was prepared to run in the 1924 Olympics. And he was almost certainly going to win it. And then he found out he would have to run on a Sunday. And he went to his coach and said, "I'm sorry, I can't run on Sunday. That would be breaking the Lord's day." Well, the coach, the team manager, everyone tried to dissuade him. He says, "I'm sorry, I have to honor God first." And they even got the Prince of Wales, who would be the next king, to talk to him. And he said, "Your Majesty, I honor you, but I honor God first. I can't run on the Sunday." And they said, "What can we do?" And the day before the race, they found out there was another race on another day. So the two athletes changed places so that Eric Little did not have to run on a Sunday. He could run on another day, and the other guy would take his place. And you remember the scene in the movie, right before he was about ready to run, he was getting ready, and another man ran up to him, another athlete, and had a little piece of paper. And Eric Little opened it up, and it was a verse from the Bible, 1 Samuel 2:30, and it said, "Those that honor me, I will honor." And he ran the race holding the piece of paper. He won the medal. And after that, he went and became a missionary. He learned the lesson we too should learn. If we honor God, God will honor us. And of course, turn that around. If we dishonor God, it's a disgrace to us. You see, if you seek pride, you lose true honor. Be humble and follow Jesus Christ, and you receive true honor for God. Now, let me give you another illustration. Back in those days, one of the most dishonorable things, in fact, in all human history, one of the most dishonorable things was to be a slave. But in the Roman Empire, the personal slaves of Caesar thought it was an honor. And they would say, "It is more honorable to be the slave of Caesar than to be a king of a nation." They caught one principle that's true. And you know what that is? Brethren, we are slaves not of Caesar, but of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not be anybody important. We'll never become president or the CEO of a leading corporation. Most of us will never be remembered. They're not going to write about us in famous magazines. We'll never be honored on television. But brethren, if you are a Christian, you are a slave of Jesus Christ. It is more honorable to be a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ than to be the emperor of the biggest kingdom on earth. And you will be honored in heaven by the angels. It is an honor to be a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, never forget that. Number four, and lastly, I keep pointing to that great day of honor in heaven. In heaven, we will truly honor God in worship, and He will honor us. You remember what Jesus said when He invites us into heaven? The judge Himself says, "Come on in, enter into the joy of your Lord." And God Himself honors us with the great honor of being His children to live with Him in heaven. And we bring our honor to Him and give it to Him as an act of worship. Listen to these two verses, both in Revelation 21, verses 24 and 26. "Kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor to God." We will bring all what little we have and say, "Lord, we give it to you. I honor you with my heart, and everything that you ever did good through me, I give it to you." What do you want to honor God with? Your college degree, your bank account, anything you've ever done, just say, "Lord, I give this to you as an act of worship and honor." What is heaven like? Worship and giving ultimate honor to God. We recognize face to face in heaven God is honorable, and we will give Him honor. Now let me just quote to you without comment several verses in Revelation. Words that are spoken by those that are in heaven worshiping God. You may have wondered, what do we do in heaven? This is what we do. Revelation 4:11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." 5:12-13 says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one that sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Revelation 7:12, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And then lastly, 19:1, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God." What is this saying? Brethren, when we get to heaven, we will finally give the honor to God that is His due. And He will show it to us, and we will take great joy in giving Him the honor. In heaven, we shall honor God as He demands and deserves as the God of honor. If that's what we will do in heaven, may that be done on earth as it is in heaven. May it be done in our church services. May it be done in our hearts, in our words, and our lives. Brethren, let us now honor God. And having said that, let us pray. Oh, Father, we honor You with our worship. Father, our worship must seem so small in Your sight. It's less than the holy angels give. We wish that our hearts and minds were as big as a galaxy so that we could give You greater honor. But Lord, in some mysterious way that we don't yet comprehend, You say that You receive our worship and honor, and You are well pleased and honored by it. Give us a true sense of Your honor so that we might honor You in all areas of our lives. We do it through Jesus. We give Him the honor. And we see that You have honored Him. Your honored Son is our honored Savior. And we come to His table now to give Him that honor. Meet with us now, Lord, as we honor Him at the Lord's table. In the honorable name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of communion this morning is hymn number 203.